Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is overwhelming to stand here before you and that we get to be a part of what you've done. Lord, I'm reminded of Esther's story. That if you don't do it, God is going to bring salvation to his people just by another way. We are amazed. Ryan and Jim, Keith and Eric, we are amazed that we get to be a part of what you've done. I pray, Father, that you would continue this work and that we would believe your gospel, that we would believe that you are faithful, and that we would live out of this identity that we have in your Son. And I pray, Father, that you would do more through this body than any of us in this room can imagine. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to speak to Brother Hullett. Well, he's a little busy right now. He's got a couple kids in the tub. He's trying to get ready for Teach Sunday School. Is there any way I can take a message and call him back? No, I need to talk to him now. Give you three guesses what drill instructor deacon that was calling me on Sunday morning. And this was not an anomaly. This was his pastor. I mean, this was his pattern. This is, see, on the day that we brought Oakley home from the hospital, I received an envelope in the mail full of about a bazillion questions from Cross of Calvary Baptist Church asking me to fill it out. And so my wife hands the phone. This here's Brother Joe Nichols from Cross of Calvary Baptist Church. You filled out that paperwork yet? I'm not exaggerating, am I, Eve? And I said, well, I've been a little busy. We have a new baby. I'm finishing school. When do you think you're going to get it done? And I hung up the phone thinking, I don't know who this Joe Nichols is, but I'm going to have a lot of trouble out of that guy. And I was dead wrong. That was the first of many things I had dead wrong. I don't think I've ever told this story publicly, but I'm going to tell it now. I just want to tell a little bit of the story of how, at least from my perspective, from the Cross of Calvary side. And I talked to Ryan and Jim about what happened at First Baptist. But just from the Cross of Calvary side, how this thing went down. But here's the first thing. Before God, I never planned to pastor this church. Literally, I came on the day that I preached at Cross of Calvary, and I knew they were going to vote. On the drive, on 337, my wife said, you're not actually thinking about saying yes, are you? And I was like, oh, no. No, honestly, I was just hoping to get some experience interviewing because I was totally new to this whole thing. So I thought that I would go and I would preach and that we'd go eat and I'd get to know some people. If they had a vote, that's fine. I'll give them an answer in a week or so. Actually, we've actually had time to talk about it because I don't know if we prayed at all about coming here. And so we had the vote. This crazy deacon asked me to leave the room. He brought me back in, stood us right in front, and said, it was a unanimous vote. But it wasn't a unanimous vote, but that's another story. He said, it was a unanimous vote. What do you say? And I said, yes. And I, the very next words out of my mouth were, honey, I am so sorry. I felt like I grew up, like in those 5 minutes. Because we were walking down. Everybody went downstairs. We're walking. I did not know what to say to her. She said, "Well, you're the pastor across the Calvary Baptist Church now." This is just a side note, but husbands, this is not the way to lead your families. We did not even know at the time. This is how naive I was. We'd never even talked about money. I thought it was a full-time position. We didn't find out until after lunch. That, oh, by the way, this is just going to be a part-time pastorate. We had never, not one time, discussed money. And this is just a good time for me to say, if it was not for the support of my wife, I would not be the one getting to do this right now. My wife and my children have lived through an incredible amount of pain. And I am very thankful for you. Let me try to describe what the situation was on the ground across the Calvary Baptist Church. It was a high-energy, upbeat, exciting congregation. Worship was bubbly. It was fun. It was exciting. We were known in the community for high-quality music. We had an outgoing pastor that could have been a stand-up comedian. He was hilarious. The church had experienced rapid growth from about, in really about a three-year time, they went from about 20 people. They met in a home and then at a hotel, then at the Jamboree building. They came up here. It was a big deal. They had a new building, grew to 150 people, and then they began a new building campaign. So they have a brand new building, a church van. They had PowerPoint that I thought was amazing, and I was in love with this glass pulpit. And I was thinking, it is a cool pulpit. And Ryan, he envied the pulpit too. So I literally thought this was a dream job, and the only problem I was going to have was out of Joe Nichols. But here's what I quickly learned. That we were $400,000 in debt. That we had borrowed more money when we were running in red on the first mortgage. We had a situation where gossip was normal. It was just how things got done. When someone needed church discipline, what would happen is they would just be talked to, and it was silently, people were asked to leave just silently with the church not knowing anything really about it. Conflict was just swept under the rug. The church was basically governed by an admin team that controlled the books and the money. The books were secret. The reports were complicated. We have 7 bank accounts. We had no membership process. If someone came forward to join the church, they joined the church without any question of their salvation. We had a young church. This was a young church. But we had more inactive members than we had active members. And the church was in trouble. It was in trouble financially. It was in trouble spiritually. It was in trouble relationally. And the consensus on the ground was we needed to move very quickly. And there was just panic on the ground. Because here was a situation. We had lots to do, and we were bleeding money. And so the thing was, you need to attract a lot of people to this church and get them to join. We need to attract, here was the thing, you need to attract tithers into this church. And about 50 people had left just like right before I got there. Like we were in bad shape, and we had lots of conflict. We had a young pastor who had deep convictions, but I had no idea what I was doing. And so, but I believe things like this. I believed in regenerate church membership. I believed in expository preaching that focused on Jesus Christ, but I was terrible at it. Joe Nichols, say amen. At one point, he said, "Brother, when you came, it was just rough." That's what he said. I believe that we need to spend time in worship focusing on Jesus instead of on our feelings about Jesus. We believe that evangelism needed to be chained to discipleship. You could not do one without the other. And we also said, if the church needs money, we need to raise it from believers and not unbelievers. We also said that men should lead in the church and in their home, and that gossip and backdoor politicking should be things of the past. So we're in this. So you mix together a financial crisis, a church raised on a shallow gospel, inexperienced pastor making massive mistakes. And here is one mistake that I so regret that did lots of damage to this church. And that is that I wanted it to look a certain way, wanted it to look on the outside like we were healthy before we were healthy. And then things got bad. And here's what happened. We had a member, a beloved member, a member that if you know him in this room, you love him. A member that if would have you rolling in laughter, a charter member of our church, who was a talented musician, who began to get more and more public with doctrines that weren't only not true, but they were dangerous. And we tried to fix this situation, but it would not be fixed any other way but by the church removing him from membership. But we were in a situation where it was already so tight. And number one, we didn't know if we'd have the votes to do it. And number two, we knew if it did pass and he was removed, that there was going to be a large number of people who went with him, and we knew that the people who were going with him were the ones who actually had jobs. Good jobs. It was a crisis. And it was incredibly painful. And I'll just tell you, like, we would pull into church, I would pull in the parking lot and say, I hate that I have to be here. I thought Joe Nichols was going to have a heart attack, and that's not playing. It was an incredibly painful time. Joe was taking those little pills, nitros. Here is the question on the table. Are we going to trust God and obey the Bible? Or are we going to live in fear and trust our own wisdom? And the church obeyed. And that Sunday, 23 people, that was one-fourth of our congregation, left. And they went to First Baptist Church. I looked it up in getting ready. I looked it up. We were spending $2,700 more dollars each month than we were bringing in. And we were living off of a one-time gift that had been made, if I'm not mistaken, by one of the people who left. It was never coming again. And that money was quickly being depleted. And it looked like we were making a huge, stupid mistake. And yet, it was at that time that everything began to change. It was in that. God provided in abundance. And we began to do more with less. And our music was not as good as it used to be. But when we used to sing that song we sang today, How Great Is Our God, that was our battle cry. God sent encouragers to me. Joe Nichols has been a faithful friend. I'll tell you one story about Joe Nichols. Joe Nichols loved me enough one time to tell me the truth. We had a huge falling out. And I went to go find him, and I still remember leaning over the car, and he had this list of things that against me. And I was going through one by one telling him why he was wrong, that his opinion was wrong. And he looked at me and he said, Tommy, you are not listening to me. I praise the Lord you said that, Joe. You sent me Joe Lippert. I was in my office, and I had my face on my desk, and I was getting ready to quit. And I kid you not, Joe Lippert knocked on my garage door and said, I just came to tell you, you need to keep pushing forward. He sent me this lady, Leona Lott, who wrote me letters at perfect times. He sent Lori Beard to just say, just keep doing what you're doing. He sent me Lisa King, who would write cards. Every one of them had a sheep on it. I wrote a letter. I have a copy of the letter. I wrote a letter to Emmanuel Baptist Church. I told them the situation. And Emmanuel Baptist Church, which at that time had about 150 people, and most of them were seminary students, they started having yard sales and selling their stuff and sent us a check for $19,000. We paid off one mortgage. But here's what that did for all of us. It said, it doesn't matter how stupid it looks. Let's just open this book and do what it says. Twenty-three disgruntled people left. They went to First Baptist Church one Sunday. I was at the Southern Baptist Convention, and this man that I had only met just one other time called me and said, Tommy, this is Ryan Lyons from First Baptist Church in Cordon. And we have about 25 of your members here this morning. And I said, yes, I know. It's a long story. And we started getting together and at the egg roll house and eating Chinese food. And our goal was to try to reconcile with those folks and to let them go to First Baptist Church and be healing. But here's what they found. If we go to First Baptist Church, the things we're running from are the exact same things he's preaching there. And we began to meet together, and we were amazed. Like, we would go through, like, just minutiae of doctrine, and we were just on the exact same page. And one of us said at one point, wouldn't it be amazing if these two churches came back together? I want you guys to look. That's Ryan Fullerton walking in that room. This is family. I just now told them how Emmanuel Baptist Church, at a time of incredible crisis, Ryan is a pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, and sent us that check. It's up here. You can see a copy of it. Cross of Calvary Church and First Baptist Church of Cordon decided not only to reconcile, but to reunite. And here we are. What was amazing about that whole thing was that what one church lacked, it seemed like the other church had. I only know this side of the story, and I know that First Baptist Church had pain of their own. But here's my question for us this morning. What if we had given up? Joe Nichols, do you ever want to give up? That's a lie. Eve Hullett, did you ever want to give up? Ryan, did you ever want to give up at First Baptist? Jim, do you want to give up? Would you open your Bible to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6? Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 7, but we're going to focus in on verse 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, all are partakers of grace with me. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. My points are very, very simple. First is, he started it. Secondly, he's going to finish it. So keep trusting in him. Notice, he started it. Look at verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, here's what I know. This was written from another person about another church, but I think that it applies because we're talking about the same God. So, other place, he wrote this, "We give thanks to God always for you, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, his choice of you, for the reason I know he chose you is because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Which I can say to Cordon Baptist Church, we give thanks to God always for you, knowing, brethren, his choice of you, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in full conviction. Just like them, you received the word of God. Just like them, you believed it and you obeyed it, even when it looked stupid to obey what he said. Now, I'm not a prophet, but I think it looks to me like God began this work. And here's what I do know. I do know that if you're in Christ, I know he began that work. Here's what Jesus says. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. In other words, he started it. 1 Corinthians 1. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He started it. Titus chapter 3, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Translation, he started it. 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He started it. James chapter 1, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be the kind of first fruits among his creatures. And if you really want to have your mind blown, here's what you need to see. This work started long before anybody in this room. This work started before Cordon, Indiana was even thought of. God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Word of the Baptist Church, you hear what I'm saying? He started it. Fantastic. That this work that is happening in your hearts individually, as God draws you away from sin that you used to love, and now you want to be holy, you want to be like Christ, you want to have less and less and less of that sin. Here's the thing, it did not start with you. And the work that he's doing, not just in us individually, but the work that he's doing among us together in our hearts and in calling us to one mission, that didn't start with us either. One way I know that that God is the one doing this work. Because the things that almost got me fired, like expository preaching, regenerate church membership, a focus on Jesus Christ and His gospel, male leadership in the home and in His church, those things almost got me fired. But now, if a pastor didn't believe those things, they would get him fired. Look at the text. He began this good work in you. And the text also says He's going to finish it. Look at verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's the good news, ladies. This Lord is not like your husband. When He starts a project, He finishes it. Let me read you the rest of John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And Jesus says, I will raise him up on the last day. And make no mistake, this didn't have anything to do with anybody's leadership. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 3. What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. And if the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. This is amazing news. And I don't have time to unpack this, but just look real fast. That this salvation is chained together with Jesus Christ's victory, and His victory is going to happen. So look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. For this reason, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Notice what He says next. That's going to happen. Jesus will be exalted. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the ocean. It will happen. Verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. But just notice, this salvation that we are to work out will happen, verse 11. His victory is our salvation. He started it. He's going to finish it. So church, keep trusting in Him. Keep trusting in Him. I believe this text is calling us to respond. I believe this text is designed to impress upon our hearts and our wills for us to keep pressing on, to keep moving forward, to keep opening this book and doing whatever it says because you believe what it promises. In other words, don't give up. Plod. Here's one thing we need to be clear. These convictions that we talked about, the convictions that Ryan talked about this morning, these are convictions that must be picked up by every single generation. It's not enough that we begin to get it right a little bit. Every single generation that comes after must pick this up with fresh conviction. And we need to hear this because we're going to be tempted to give up again. There's more pain coming. There are more trials that are coming our way. Once again, we will be tempted to compromise what the Bible says. We are going to be tempted to be satisfied with what's already been accomplished and the progress that's already been made. But look at verse 6 again. When does God's work of perfecting stop? For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So think about what this means. It means praise the Lord for some progress that's been made. There's been some progress made. Praise the Lord for what he's done. But here's the thing. He began a good work in the hearts of Cordon Baptist Church. We are very thankful for that. But look at the text. There's more work to be done. There are areas right now in your life that you don't even know about. You can't even see. Where you are dishonoring the Lord Jesus and you don't even see it yet. We need community. It's not done. There is more gospel for us to know and for us to bring to bear in life and in marriage and in work and in play and in mission in this community. There are ways of thinking right now in your mind that seem absolutely normal to you right now, but they contradict the gospel. You can't see it. There is more work to be done. You're not yet perfect, but look at the text. One day you will be. Cordon Baptist Church, I'm begging you not to give up. The Holy Spirit in this text is urging you, do not give up. And just notice, this is not as if it depends upon you. What this text is urging you to do is to trust in Him. See, here's the thing. Let's just talk about individually for a second. There are you in this room right now who are in marriages where you are tempted to give up. Just this week, you were tempted to give up. And notice this text, don't give up. Some of you are being tempted to give up in your fight against a certain sin that just keeps on knocking at your door. And this text reminds you, don't give up. That there are people in this room who have people that you have been praying for years. It's amazing to get to worship today with Kenny Stewart and Phil Fox. Don't give up. As you press to take the gospel to outside these walls into this culture, we'll be tempted to give up. It just looks like the culture is too far gone. And what can a little church surrounded by cornfields in Cordon, Indiana, what difference can we make? It's just such a good... I just want to remind you that you're small, but your size and your strength are not the determining factor. He is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be glory in the church. I want to encourage Keith and Eric and Jim. Don't give up. There are so many times in preaching, you're like, I don't even know why I spent all this time doing this. It's not going to do any good anyway. And then slowly and secretly, Holy Spirit is at work through weak preaching of an old-timey book in order to change people and make them like Christ. Do not give up. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He started it. He's going to finish it. So keep trusting Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're amazed. I'm amazed. It wasn't that long ago before. God, I wanted you to get off my back and leave me alone. Stop telling me what to do. I am thankful for your stubborn kindness. I pray, Father, you would continue to work in this body. You would continue to work among these pastors. I praise the Lord for Keith McCorder, Jim Brooks, and Eric Hall. Father, I pray for every member of this church, that they would have incredible courage to work out the victory of their salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that you are at work in them, causing them to will and to work according to your good pleasure. And I pray you make them bold, incredibly humble. They would work out of thankful hearts that are amazed by the gospel. Father, I pray that you would do in this community a work of salvation, drawing people to your Son through His gospel, that 10 years from now, we will look back and laugh at what you have done. Father, I pray that you would be at work as pain comes, and that you would give this body grace. Why? With rugged faith. And a joy in your Son that simply will not stop. We pray this in Jesus' name.